How are we all doing? Good. Excellent. Wonderful time of worship, family worship. And if you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Romans, please. Roman all over the place, so you can either go where you want to go or just join me there or roam wherever you want. Romans chapter 12. And we're going to just look at our key text, and then we're going to look at some whole bunch of other stuff. We good? So this is our last one in our series of honoring, and I just thought it would be good for us just to look at some stuff. So let's just read Romans 12:10 so we get a content of what God is saying to us, what He wants us to understand from the Scriptures, how He wants us to live, how He wants us to do things. And so last week we looked at quite a few. This morning we're just going to look at 12:10, which says, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. And so we are called, we are mandated. And I know some of you don't like that. I'm mandated to do something. But I've said before, I'm going to say it again until we all get it, and I get it, because, you know, I'm a slow learner, and it takes time to learn stuff. And so we need to understand that some of Scripture is just an imperative. We don't get to argue with it. We don't need to, it's good, bad, or indifferent. It's just what God wants us to do and how we do that. So we started off the series with honor, and the first thing we looked at was discovering honor. And we looked at the book of the Old Testament, we looked at the book of Micah, and God speaking to the nation, and some people have taken it as an individual thing, but it's not. It was a whole nation that had, can we say, upset God. They'd been apathetic in their worship, they weren't doing a great job of it, and He eventually asks them, where is my honor? And it's a broad picture. We looked at the broad picture, looking at honor. And we see that honor is a theme throughout Scripture. And as I've said, it's an imperative. And honor is to give value to something and give weight to. Remember we said it's weighty. We give weighty, and then dishonor would be to treat something lightly. And depending on the varying degrees of how we do that. And then last week we looked at to whom is honor due. And we looked at five aspects of to whom is honor due, and we realized there were a whole number of them, and I'm sure you could come up with a whole bunch of other ones, but the number one to honor, of course, we honor God first. We should always honor God first, others, and then we look parents, honor age, honor authority, different levels of authority, etc., etc. And so this morning, I want us to look at how do we honor, or how do you honor? We've looked at the theology of honor, we've looked at some script, and today I want to look at some scriptural, practical ways on how we honor, on how we do this, and how we carry on with that. Because, can I just be honest, we're very good at putting other people down. Anybody? Nobody? Yeah, there we go. Okay, some people agree. You know, and it always starts in the family, because that's where we're closest. And we remember we spoke about the lie that we subscribe to all our lives. You hurt the one you love. That's so insanely stupid. And I know it's probably because I live majority of the time, or you live the majority with the one you love, and then we subscribe to this societal phrase of you hurt the one you love, and that's so stupid. Why would you let's just use me. Why would I, in any shape or form, want to hurt my wife and my child? Because that's what he's saying. You hurt the one you love. Okay, let me move on. So what we do is we're able to, and friends, we hurt friends and peers, and man, we're good at putting down sportsmen and referees and umpires. Man, in South Africa, when we watch rugby, we have a favorite saying. We say to the ref, shake your head, your eyes are stuck. You know? Is he watching the same game I'm watching? We put teachers down, our bosses, bloggers, tweeters, pastors, our opinions. We always want our opinion out there. And sometimes you think what we say is okay to say, but it's not. What we put on Facebook, I've said this before, and sometimes you can just say, someone can write something on Facebook, test it. Go on, have a little bit of fun. Go and put something sort of controversial. Man, you are going to invite a world of hurt upon yourself. Because then everybody now wants to give you their idea of how we do it. So let's just get into some practical on how we do it. So number one, we have to practice it. We can't just say honor is a great thing and then just ignore it. We don't honor on a whim. We don't honor because our mood takes us. Amazing songs this morning. Oh, I feel so in love with Jesus. I should go and honor somebody. I just honor you now, Jesus, because the sun takes me. Or a prayer that you pray, or even a sermon that one might preach. We should do this because it's in our DNA and it's because who we are. We have the deluded notion that I only honor something if I agree with it. Show proper respect to everyone. Everyone. That means everyone. In the Greek, it means everyone. In the Hebrew, it means everyone. In English, it means everyone. In Italian, it means everyone. What's it? Tutti. Pick a name. In Sri Lankan, it means everyone. In Shona, it means everyone. Have I left anything out? Greeks, Venezuelans, South Americans, Germans, anything? Anybody else? Russians, it means? Okay, you got it. To everyone, love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, and honor the King. And when we practice it, we get better at it. If it's only a notion that we think of, sometimes we even stumble over our own words. And I've got a nice little thought for us at each one of each point this morning. And the one here, when we practice, is our practice becomes our lifestyle. It becomes a lifestyle of honoring others. And we can do better. Turn to someone else and say, you can do better. Oh my word. Try it again. Say, I could do better. Some of you got it. The rest of you were like, yeah, no, tell my brother to get better at this. The second thing we have to learn to do is prioritize it. We have to prioritize honor. Whatever you honor, you will prioritize it. If it has a weighty meaning to you, for you, or a value to you, you will prioritize it. You will make it a first thing. Man, I only have to go to a wedding or a reception or the Feast of Nations. Now, don't all hold back today. Or a Feast of Nations or wedding reception to see how people honor their stomachs. Me first. Let me get in here. Let me get my share. Years and years and years and years ago when Louise was younger. She graduated from school and decided for a period of time, I'm honoring you, yes babes, I am. She decided she was going to go and be a waitress on a ship that traveled up and down the coast of South Africa. And then praise God, His hand was upon her. She got off the ship and it went off down the thing and then it sank. Who knows? Who knew? And it was a big thing in the newspaper. And there was a captain on board the ship, and who knows what a captain does? Sorry, say it again. Not this captain. This captain hit the headlines in South African newspapers, and he was commonly known as Captain Me First. And his excuse at the end was he wanted to be on shore so he could direct the lifeboats and everything else coming off. And you actually know who took hold of that? The musos on board the ship, they stayed with the ship and got all the pay. No one drowned. They got all the, but this captain, Captain Me First. So it was a big joke in South Africa. Well, it was very sad. But, you know, they drowned the Cape Horn there. It was called the Cape of Storms and it was big winds and the ship was old. And I just when I was preparing this, I just remembered Captain Me First, the ship called the Oceanus. You can go and Google it and check it out. We have to learn to honor visitors, honor ladies, honor the elder. Allow them to go first. Allow them to go ahead of you. And I've said this times. Open the door for the lady. Let the lady walk through. Open the car door for them. Now, guys, you go. Let me help the guys on this. This is called the Italian test or Italian test. So the guy goes and he opens the door. And the Italians all look at me and go, yeah. And then he walks around the back of the car to his side. And then he looks through the window and he watches. And when he gets to his door, the lady better have leant over and unlocked his door for him. Otherwise, she's not a keeper. You can go back around the other door and say, okay, you can get out now. This date is off. But you're a keeper if you open the door for her. It's a joke, but you take it where you like. And we need to understand that there are many verses in God's Word, and you can go and check it out, that speak about honoring, and hopefully you've got that by now. However, there are not too many on how to do this. It's as if God gave this instruction to us, and then what God did, He stepped back and said, let me see what kind of students you're going to be. And sometimes we're not very good at it. We need to understand and have a good thing and look at it. And I love this. First one's ESV. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. I like the way the Message puts it. The Message says, honor God with everything you own. Quick Rolodex. Everything you own. Give Him the first and the best. That's a good version. Honor God with everything you own. Remember last week I said, you know, we talk about finances and we talk about the tithe. And for those of you who don't know what that means one-tenth of. And what it really means is that God owns it all. He's just letting you keep 90%. That's just His to us. And we get to do that, not under compulsion, not under because I have to, not because, ooh, if I do that, the Lord's going to bless me extra special. No, it's because it belongs to Him already. And we want to do it because we learn. Now, the difficulty, though, is, yeah, now when pastors preach like that, you just want our money. It's got nothing to do with me wanting your money. What it also means, it's not just about money. It's about everything. Me. Romans 12, 1 and 2. It's all about me. It's about my resources, everything. My time. Yeah, we think we do. If we come on time, we're here 2 hours on a Sunday. If we're not, we're here 1.5 hours or whatever. And we think, well, that's it. I've done my bit. That's not even a tithe of your time. How are we giving to God the best of everything? When we experience it, when we know we give Him the time, our resources, ourselves, our finances. You know, you think, well, Mark, you're the pastor. You're supposed to do all the stuff. No, no, no. I'm people just like you people. If you cut me, I bleed just like you people. If you look inside me, I get hurt and offended just like you people do. Not that I should get offended. But I just want to say, when I came to know Jesus Christ, truly, and I got this. I gave up everything to prioritize Him. Oh, wow, you're a martyr. No, I just had a revelation. We do this because of a revelation, not because we have to. We do this there because, I mean, some of you know, I used to breed and train dogs, and that was my life. And I used to spend hours and hours with the dogs, and it was weekend shows, and they were champions and all that kind of stuff. Thousands and thousands of dollars worth of Rottweilers. That's what I had. And I still loved them and I still walked them. But I gave that all up for God. And I know some of you invite us out on Saturdays and always say, can I please be home early? Because I want to be awake and fresh for God and for you when I come here on this morning. And I'm telling you all this because I'm just hopefully helping you to learn, wow, that's not my priority just yet. God first, regular fellowship are a priority for me. A principle of returning to God first and the best is not a mechanical method, but by revelation, not by guilt or compulsion. Let me say this. God does not need your stuff. What he needs is to know what place he has in your heart. That's what he needs. Whatever is first is honored. Number three, what we want to do is we want to praise it. As people honor, we praise what we honor. Honor has a language. Honor is a language. Our heroes, our sports heroes, our teachers who are heroes, our pastors who are heroes. Just a joke, work with me. Our parents who are heroes. Anybody who's a hero to you. You might have heard me say, because of my brother and the life that he led before Jesus, my brother, my younger brother, is my hero. He has got more internal testinal fortitude than most I know. What I just said, he's got guts. I don't know if you're allowed to use that word here, but anyway. When we use honor poorly as a language, it's this little thing here. We can be loose with our tongues. And sometimes we need to have this in gear before this is working. Because sometimes we just say stuff and we go, ooh. Remember we did that thing on speaking? Just words just come out your mouth and you go, oh my word, did I just say all that stuff? I love it when Paul writes his epistles, to his apostolic letters to the churches and to people. And he writes and he always starts off with honoring the church or the people or the person he's writing to. Always giving them a shout out, or as the young people, big ups, you know. He's always starting there. How's anybody having a baby boy soon? He has a name for you. Onesiphorus. I was thinking of you, Vince, but unfortunately, yeah, no, fortunately. Paul says this about Onesiphorus. He says, he visited me in prison. He wasn't ashamed of my chains. He refreshed me as he honored me. And may his acts of honoring be credit to him as he was, as on that day, or that day when Christ returns, and that things would go well with him as he accomplished much in Ephesus. There was another dude called Epaphroditus. Paul writes this about him. So then welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him. He was an example of someone to be honored because he almost died for the work of Christ. Anybody ever died? No, I didn't think so. He was an example to others. He talks about Priscilla and Aquila. He says, salute them. They are champions in the gospel with me. And he goes on, and we either, with our words, we either going to build somebody up or we're going to tear them down. I'm so glad when Mark's finished the series and we can get on to something else. We need to practice our honor, prioritize our honor, and praise our honor. James 3:9 says, with it, and the with it is this little member, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursings. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. We shouldn't be doing that. One minute we're praising and the next thing we're not doing so much well there. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. That word corrupting me is the Greek word is sapros. And what that means is rotten or putrid speech, corrupted and no longer able to be used. You didn't know the Bible used such strong language. Eh? The gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon this little child. Yeah, I know. Sometimes I think God, we're kinder than Jesus was, if you can hear that in a context and don't take it out of context. It says, as fits the occasion. Give honor where honor is due. always honoring, but give extra honor where honor is due. Building others up according to how it's going to make me feel. No, according to their needs. Yeah, we get to discern when people are just blowing smoke up your nose. Oh, Janine, you just did those announcements so well. Oh, of course she did. She did them really well. Oh, you just did them so well, Janine. Can I come to your house for dinner? Now, there was an ulterior motive there to build her up, right? We just got to go, man, Janine, that was great. Well done. Thank you. Thank you for helping us see this thing. Don't grieve and say, don't do this, don't do that. You're going to grieve the Holy Spirit. You know what grieves the Holy Spirit, according to Scripture? The talk that comes out of our mouths. We make it a religion of anything you don't want to do that you think the Holy Spirit said you should do, then we're grieving Him. No. What comes out of your mouth? What ugly stuff we say. That's what grieves Him. Thank you. Our words will either honor or dishonor. Just take a moment and reflect and think a little bit. Nearly done. Number four, protect it. Are we there? Yep, protect it. The definition of honor is to apply high value and weight to something or someone, as we said. The thing we place high value on, we will protect. I want to tell you how much value, I haven't got it with me today, I left it at home, how much I value and want to protect my wallet. Ah, you see, money. No, it's had nothing because there was no money in it. But there are these little thing, plastic cards inside my wallet that I value highly. And there's a photograph of my amazing wife in there which I value highly. And I lost my wallet. Oh my. Did I hunt high and low? I couldn't settle. I couldn't do anything. I came here. We'd given a whole bunch of clothing here. I came here and I took the bags and I tilted them out and repacked them and folded it nicely and packed it back in again. We called friends. Have you seen my wallet? We called places we'd been. We'd called anything and everyone anywhere near where we'd been. And I was so convinced that I was wearing my olive green pants when I went out. Yeah, exactly, Janine. They were khaki. They were not olive green. And so where do you think I found my wallet? The next day, in my khaki pants. Ay, 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 ay. What we value, we will guard. Just take that under advisement. It's an amazing story in the Old Testament about when God flooded the earth and He got this family and He told them all, get in the ark, and they built this ark, and then the dad came out and he was so happy to be back on dry land after 40 days and 40 nights and some more when the water receded and all that kind of stuff. Then he went and he planted a vineyard. And he was so happy that he had this vineyard, and he went and he made wine and he drank and he got drunk. And he collapsed in his tent naked. And his son, Ham, came inside and looked at his father. Now you have to understand in a Hebraic, but Hebrew fashion, drunkenness and nudity was a niet, which is in Russian, niet, in English, no, Afrikaans, nie, Italian, no, was a no-no. Anyway, son comes in and he sees his dad naked and he goes out and he goes, says to his two other brothers, Shem and Japheth, check dad in the tent. He's like, old man's passed out and he's butt naked. Some of you get it. How religious of you in church, Mark. Stay with me. So what do these two brothers do? They take a garment and they put it over their shoulders. And they walk in backwards. And they cover their father's nakedness. They don't even look at him. They just let him sleep it off, dad. And he comes out, and the point is, things will go well with you when we honor things. How will your attitude be to when you have an opportunity to honor something, but you choose not to? What happened here is he comes out and he says to his one son, well, you're going to be cursed, and you are going to be the servants to the Canaanites forever. And you, my other two brothers, you're going to dwell in the tents together, and you're going to live happily, and they're going to be your servants too. And you're going to prosper. Go and read it. Genesis chapter 9. And you see, the point is, what are we willing to protect and honor? Are we willing... So forgive me for being old school here. Are we willing to protect the name of God? Are we willing to use it, like so many people do, just as an expression? I know it breaks my heart because it is the name above all names. When I hear people, especially Christians, or say they're Christians, go, OMG. And they write it all over the place. And they say it. And I'm going, which part of that did you miss? Are we willing to protect the name of God? Are we willing to stand up and say something about that? Or do we just go along with the rest? I mean, I will leave it. I don't have time for it. Okay. Let's move on. If you're really curious, you can ask me afterwards. John 7:18 says, the one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory, but the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood. Jesus was not simply a great teacher. He just wasn't just the rabbi or a wise guy at the moment, or a prophet or a healer. He came to fulfill the law, came to do the Father's will, and to bring glory to his Father, and to represent the Father well. And as Jesus' brothers and sisters, that's what we are meant to do. We are meant to represent him well. And we make a big fuss about the name of Jesus here at the Bridge. If you haven't got that, let me just say that clearly. We make a big fuss about it. We want to emulate him. We want to bring glory to him and to his name. We honor Word and Spirit. We honor the Logos word, we honor the Rhema word, we honor the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit took something and expanded it in our hearts this morning. We honor and protect one another to bring glory to the King. John 15:8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. By this it means that we abide in him. In his word, in his spirit. That's what that whole little piece means. And yeah, this one might take you some time to get hold of. But the more we value it, the more you value from it. The more we value it, the more we will value from it, the more we will understand. Because the point is that we need to be vessels of honor. Now, if you look at in 2 Timothy again, you know how I dislike just taking one scripture and trying to make it mean something. We see that Paul writing to young Timothy now, and say giving him some doctrinal instructions. And he's basically in this whole context saying, watch out for false teachers. Well, remember all the scripture, he says in 2 Timothy 3:16. He says, remember, all scripture is God-breathed. It's all written out there for us. It comes by God. It's not just made up by man. It's profitable. Means it's good for teaching, for rebuking, for correction, and for righteous training. That's what the Word of God is all about. He encouraged him to stay true to the Word. Encouraged him to stay away from foolish talk. And then he goes on and he talks about, in the beginning, he says, those that do not be, has no need to be ashamed of rightly handling the word, which means make sure that there's nothing in your path. Go straight forward, go through it. And he says, and there are people, be avoid in irreverent babble, for it leads people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. And then he names two of the ladies, or husband and wife, I'm not sure. Hymenaeus and Philetus. There you go, Vince. Hymenaeus and Philetus. He says their words and their belief system, what they have thought now, they've heard the gospel, but they've changed something. And they are like gangrene. And what do you do with gangrenous limbs? You amputate them. You cut them off. And he's saying, don't let these two infect the body. Amputate them from the body. Thinking, wow, that's like harsh. Eh? Well, this is good Bible. Then he goes on and he says, now in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good works. So the great house he's talking about is the church. So in local church, big church, okay? The vessels of gold and silver are honorable use. Wood and clay are for dishonorable use. Now, just to bring it down into a context for us to understand, just like in your house, and he's talking about people here, but in your house you have fine bone china and you have paper plates. Fine bone china, you don't eat off and throw away. Therefore, when the best guests come. You know, you have a barbecue and 20 people put you on, you don't get all, you go, okay, let's just do paper plates. And when that's done, then you take the paper plates and you throw them away. And you don't have use for them. But your fine bone china or your fine ladies, when you come around, go around to the house, they pull out all their best china to have their tea party with. They just like paper cups and let's go for it, you know. So the point is, stop being a paper plate and be a plate china plate. Okay? That's being vessels of honorable, on honor. So what is the key to honor? And we're closing with this. I'm so glad you all asked. Because you see here, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful for the master, ready for every good work. So we break it down, we look at it. The key to honor is humility. The fear of the Lord teaches a man of wisdom, and humility comes before honor. Before his downfall, a man's heart is proud, but humility comes before honor. Humility and the fear of the Lord brings wealth and honor and life. A man's pride brings him low, but a man of lowly spirit of humility gains honor. Humility is the key to this honoring. If we can humble ourselves, and if we will be pure in heart and pure in thought, and if we will practice it, and we will prioritize it, and we will, I don't know what else is said, praise it, and protect it, and we'll look after it, and we will become, have a culture of honor here. And that's part of what I would love us to be a church, where people walk in the door and they not only go, God is in this place, the worship was outstanding, sermon was so-so, but man, those people honor one another. They know how to honor. Wow. We want to be like Epaphroditus. When he comes to you, honor people like him. We want to raise the bar. We want to speak a different language. We want to see that his word is true. James 4:6, but he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Amen. Let's stand together, please. Father, we just come to you this morning, Lord God, and we come and first and foremost, Lord God, we honor you, Lord. We honor you, Jesus. We honor you, Holy Spirit. Lord, let this be a place that enthuses about the mighty name of God, name of Jesus. We come before you, Lord God, and we want to prioritize you. We want to protect your name. We want to honor you, Jesus. When people blaspheme and use your name in vain, God, we want to stand before you in humility and in righteousness. We want to declare your goodness, Lord. And Father, we come and we want to honor one another, Lord God. And Jesus, to that end, we come this morning, Lord God, and we have an amazing amount of food out there for us to enjoy, to fellowship, to honor speak with one another, enjoy each other's company. So, Lord God, bless us. Let your face shine upon us, God. Let your glory be over us, in us, and through us, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.